Proverbs chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts now together in prayer as we seek God's blessing on the preaching of His word. Our Father in heaven, we ask that by your Spirit that inspired this text, that you would give us illumination and insight into it. Help me preach in demonstration of the Spirit of power. May your people be attentive and desirous to hear your word. And may we all hunger and thirst to understand and apply your word in our hearts and in our lives. And so we commit this time to you, asking for your help and strength and blessing, knowing that all, you alone can help us to profit from your sacred word. And so we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 might be one of the most famous texts in all of Holy Scripture. People have it on mugs or on car decals or sometimes on refrigerators. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And there's nothing wrong with that because it is a very memorable and important verse or verses. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But it's important that we understand exactly what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 means. That way we have an understanding of not just as a verse that we like to put on a mug or on the back of our car, but a verse that we are actually seeking to apply in our daily lives. It's not good enough for us to merely say, you know what, I know what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, or I have it on my car, on my refrigerator, on a mug, if it is not affecting the way we live. And so we see in this text, the main point of this text is we must trust Jehovah, acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. We must trust Jehovah, acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. My first point is trust in Jehovah. My second point is leaning not on your own understanding. My third point is acknowledging Him. Acknowledging Him. So again, first, trusting Jehovah. Second, leaning not on your own understanding. Third point, acknowledging Him. And my fourth point is He will direct your paths. He will direct your paths. And so first point again, trust in Jehovah. The beginning of verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Our English Bibles, many of them will capitalize Lord in all caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, to point out that this is God's covenant name. And the covenant name of God is Yehovah in the Hebrew, Yehovah, or in transliterate in the English, Jehovah, Jehovah, Yehovah or Jehovah. And that's where I'm getting the phrase trust in Jehovah, because the covenant name of God in our Bibles, as we see in the translation I'm using, is Lord in all caps, but could also be properly translated Jehovah. And it says that we are to trust in Jehovah with all our hearts. That the first emphasis of this verse is trust, is that we are to trust in Jehovah Himself. That there should be a humble reliance upon Him. Out of the Reformation, there was a clarity on what it means to have saving faith in the true God. In Romanism, they said merely having assent, merely saying, I agree with the dogmas of the church, was good enough for them to say you had saving faith. The Reformation looked at the Romanist concept of faith and said something is lacking, with saying merely assenting to the doctrine is not enough. And so they said there are three things connected with biblical saving faith. And we could say faith that leads us in sanctification. One is knowledge. Knowledge. You cannot trust something or someone you do not know. So there must be a knowledge of God in Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. There must be a knowledge of God. But that's not sufficient in and of itself. This is a merely knowing the facts. That's what I mean by knowing. A knowing of the facts. Having the information. Second is an assent. Not only do you know the facts about God and his salvation, you assent or agree that they are true. You acknowledge and confess that they are true. So you have knowledge and then you have assent. Knowledge and then assent. But lastly is what distinguished the Reformation view of faith and the Romanist view of faith. And that was trust. Trust. There's knowledge, there's assent, and then there's trust. And so that's what biblical saving faith is. You know about God and his work of salvation through Jesus Christ. You assent that those things are true and accurate and right. And then lastly, you trust in the God of your salvation. There is a humble reliance upon him. And so we see, if that is true as it relates to trusting in Jehovah, the true God, unto conversion, it is also true of the trust that must be a reality in the life of a child of God in their sanctification. There must be a knowledge, a growing knowledge of God. There must be a growing assent that what you are reading in God's word is true about God, and a growing reliance, dependence, and trust on the living God. This is what it means to trust in Jehovah. We are to know him better, we are to assent to his truth, and we are to rely totally and completely upon him. But then it goes on to say, not only are we to trust in Jehovah or in the Lord, but we are to trust him with our whole heart. Trust in the Lord with your hearts, with all your hearts. The Bible, when it speaks about the heart, it is reference to our affections, our inner man, our desires. So basically what it's saying here is not only are you to have a mere external trust, but there should be a heart devotion, commitment to the living God. There must be a desire from the heart to trust in God. It's not good enough for us merely to give lip service of trust or merely to do the right thing as if that's trust. But there must be a mind that knows God, a will that desires to obey based on that trust, and a heart that has a desire and affection towards the living God. And so we are, as it first says, to instead of trusting in self, as we'll see more in my second point, we are to put our trust in Jehovah himself with all of our hearts. That our reliance, our dependence, our focus for help and for hope is not in self, but on him, the living God. And the only way that you can trust in Jehovah properly and truly is if you are growing in your understanding of who God is. The only way you can truly trust someone is if you know them in a deeper, more intimate way. That's where trust is built. When you grow to know someone more and more and have realized that they are trustworthy. And therefore, we must continue to meditate and contemplate on the immutability of God, or the doctrine that God does not change. How can we trust God? Because he doesn't change. Because he's not like us that is tossed to and fro so easily, or a shifting shadow. God is without change, and therefore we can trust him. What he says will be true always because he doesn't change. A growing knowledge and understanding of God's holiness, that God is separate from us, and that he is morally pure. That everything that God does is based on moral purity. So he's never going to deceive us, lie to us, or mislead us because he's holy. Or a greater understanding of God's sovereignty. That God is in control of all things. And nothing that comes about by luck or blind fate or chance. But according to God's sovereign good pleasure. And as we begin to understand more of God's sovereignty. Or as we begin to understand God's goodness That what he does for us is based on kind and loving and compassionate intentions towards his people. Or the reality that God is all-powerful or omnipotent. That everything that God purposes, he can accomplish. That there's nothing that is too hard for God or his omniscience. That there's nothing that comes outside of God's purview or his knowledge, as if he doesn't know it's happening to us or in us or through us. That everything happens and God knows all of it. Or God's omnipresence, that there's no place where God isn't. God's omnipresence, there's no place where God isn't. Knowing and growing in our understanding about God's omnipresence, or God's mercy, or God's grace, or God's compassion, or God's forbearance, or God's long-suffering, whatever attribute it might be, but we want to continually grow so that we can truly trust in God, is have a greater and deepening understanding of who God is as he has revealed himself in Holy Scripture. You can never trust in Jehovah properly unless your knowledge of Jehovah is growing. And your knowledge of him only grows insofar as you are seeking to understand this book and be helped by others who understand this book. And so we must ever be growing in our knowledge of the God of Scripture. I haven't completely decided, but I'm contemplating very strongly of, after we finish the Sermon on the Mount, doing a short series on the perfections of God, so that we are confronted with who is God and put before us a topical series before I go to another section of Scripture or a book where we think about who is God and in his perfections and attributes, because it's so critical for our life. And so we see here that, again, we are to trust in Jehovah with all of our heart. And then it says in the second point is leaning not on your own understanding, as it says in 5b, chapter 3, verse 5b. And then it says, in contrast to trusting in Jehovah with all your heart, it says, and lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. The world today has many catchphrases, but some of the catchphrases in our culture is trust in your heart, or believe in yourself, or the problem for you is you just don't believe in yourself enough, or the problem for you is if only you had greater faith in you, you would accomplish it. That the world teaches us in so many different ways and language to lean on your own understanding. It tells us, believe in yourself, trust in yourself, rely on yourself, hope in yourself, trust in your heart. The heart wants what it wants, and therefore to be led and be focusing on leaning on your own understanding. If you turn with me to Proverbs 28, we see what God says about someone trusting in their own heart or leaning on their own understanding. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. It says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. There's God's commentary on people who think it's good for them to trust in their own hearts. God says he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. It's foolish to trust in your own heart. We are not to lean on our own understanding. And this is so counterintuitive to us because we are so wired by our culture and even our remaining sin as Christians to say, we know the answer. We know the way. We know what is right. We know what is wrong. It's so hard for us to say, you know what? I am going to completely reject any of my own thinking that comes from my own understanding. I'm going to reject all of that and lean not on it. Because our natural bent is to say, I can lean on my own understanding and be fine. But God says here, don't even think about leaning on your own understanding. You must reject all thinking that is after this world system or after your own desires. It must be rejected and put aside, because you cannot trust in the Lord or trust in Jehovah and lean on your own understanding at the same time. It's like water and oil. They don't mix. If you have one, you don't have the other. If you have the other, you don't have the other one. You're either leaning on your own understanding or you're trusting in Jehovah. And so this is what the text says. If you are going to trust in Jehovah himself, you must forsake and kill and despise all trust in self. You must forsake all leaning on your own understanding. You must desire to throw away your conceptions of how things are. I mean, this is what happens when a person is converted. When a person is converted to Christ, especially as they if they get saved later in life, they have to throw away many things of their thinking, feeling, and doing. They have to throw it away because they, at one time, were leaning on their own understanding or their culture's understanding or the way that the world says it was right for them. They get converted to Christ by repentance and faith in Him, and then they realize, wow, a lot of the ways I was thinking and living and feeling were wrong, and I have to throw them away. I have to get rid of them. I have to discard them completely because they were leaning on my own understanding and therefore not trusting in Jehovah. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 18, we see this reality of these people getting converted and the strong ways in which they sought to repudiate their former lifestyle and not lean on their own understanding. Actually, if it's Acts 19, this is the account where these itinerant Jewish exorcists, they use the name of the Lord Jesus. These evil spirits don't know them. They overpower them, etc. They prevail against them, verse 16. So they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So that's the context. Then verse 17. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Verse 19. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And so we see these magic books, these demonic spell books, these witchcraft books connected with all those different things, witchcraft, sorcery, these demonic things, as it calls them, practice magic, brought their books, etc. And so what they did with these books is they didn't sell them because they would have been worth a lot of money. 50,000 pieces of silver, low estimate is millions in our culture, high estimate is billions, just to get you some clarity on what that means. And what they did with these witchcraft books, these magic books, these sorcery books, they burned them in the sight of all. They burned these books because at one point they were trusting in their own understanding. They were leaning on their own understanding, thinking that this was the way to get power. This was the way to manipulate things and get them the way they want it. Then they came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and they burned these books because they were, instead of trusting and leaning on the arm of the flesh, they begin to trust in the living God. And so they burned the books and got rid of them. And so we see that it might not be that radical, obviously, for us in different scenarios, but that is the reality of what it is, at least mentally and emotionally. We burn things. We seek to set them aside. We seek to not lean on our own thinking and understanding and ways and desires. And instead, we throw those things away, whether literally or metaphorically. Because as we begin to grow in trusting in Jehovah, we grow less and less leaning on ourselves. We throw aside leaning on our own understanding. And so this is the first reality we see in this text, that someone who is walking before God, obedient to this text, is trusting in Him, and by result is not leaning on their own understanding. Then my third point, acknowledging Him. Acknowledging Him. It says in the beginning of verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him. So not only is there to be trust in Jehovah Himself, in the living God, not only are we to rely and lean upon Him as the one we look to for strength and help, but we are to acknowledge Him, which is the reference to particularly prayer. Not only is there trust, but there's acknowledgement. Not only is there reliance upon God, but there's dependent, believing prayer to Him. So these two are together. That we trust God, and therefore we pray to Him. We trust in the living God, and therefore we seek to cast our cares upon him. And so there is a desire from the heart to acknowledge and confess our need, our desires to the God of heaven. We look away from trusting in self, the first verse 5, and instead we acknowledge God to be our present help in time of trouble. We look away from self and self hope, and we look to the God of heaven, acknowledging him. And so a practical way for your life and for my life that I want to be more diligent of, and hopefully that all of us can be more diligent in as Christians, is in whatever we're doing, we acknowledge God. If we go to someone's house, we acknowledge God, praying, God, give me help, or Father, give me help as I'm here. We go to church, Father, give me grace to make the most of this time. You're going to have a conversation with someone on the phone. Father, help me to be wise. You're going to talk to someone about the gospel. Father, give me boldness. You're going to discipline a child. Father, give me grace, compassion, but speaking the truth in love. You're going to interact with a spouse in a different way, or just spend time with your spouse. Father, help me be loving and kind and gracious to my spouse. You're going to interact with a sibling. Father, help me to be faithful in this relationship. You're going to minister with a friend, minister to a friend. You're meeting up for coffee or at a restaurant to have food. Father, help me, please, to be faithful. Where you're taking all of these things, whatever they are, and you're acknowledging God, saying, Father, I need your help. An active dependence upon God. It's so easy for myself, and I'm sure for you, to go through the day and realize that we were not acknowledging God throughout the day. We were not acknowledging him for his help and his grace and actively depending upon him. That he would give us grace and strength and help in every situation that we have. Whether it seems unspiritual or it seems very spiritual. Unspiritual in quotes. Like just a secular job or something like that. But even in those things, we should be acknowledging God in them. Acknowledging him to help us and guide us and strengthen us. Because we confess theologically that in God we live and move and have our being. We confess that he gives to all life and breath and all things. And so therefore, our desire should be, my desire should be, your desire should be to trust him, yes, to rely upon him, but to acknowledge him in whatever situation it might be. Not just for the big things, but even for the little things. Praying that God would help you and strengthen you, primarily above everything else, to be faithful to him in whatever you're doing. Not ultimately praying for success, even though it's not wrong to pray for that, but ultimately praying that God would keep you faithful to his will and to his word. Let me just say this as well, connected with trust and also acknowledging. It is hypocrisy and truly lying that we're trusting and acknowledging God if we are not seeking to shape our life by the word of God. Trust in Jehovah and acknowledging him seeks to submit our hearts and our mind and our will to conform our practices to the word of God. To bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. To bring thoughts and feelings and actions under the magnifying glass of Holy Scripture. Because trust in Jehovah and a reliance upon the word of God go together. You can't have one without the other. You have so many people, sadly, or at least some people in our day who say, yeah, I trust God. I trust him. And they have no idea whatsoever or have hardly any idea what the Bible says. It's a mere empty trust. Because they're saying, yeah, oh, I'm trusting God through this. I'm trusting God through this. But they have no idea at all what the word of God says on those things. They have a mere religiosity of they know they're supposed to say, I'm trusting God. But they have no desire to say, am I submitting how my mind is thinking, my heart is feeling, and my will is acting by the word of God? It's just a mere religiosity of I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in God. And so we must, in acknowledging God and trusting in God, submit our minds and our hearts and our will to the word of God. to the Word of God. And so we acknowledge God in all of our ways. We acknowledge Him in all of our ways as the God who leads, guides, and directs, as we'll see now in the fourth point. Fourth point, He will direct your paths. He will direct your paths. It says in verse 6 at the end, and He shall direct your paths. This is a very much text connected to knowing and walking in God's will. A question that many people can ask. How do I know God's will for my life in this particular situation? Well, what we see here is a key way for God to direct your paths is for you to trust in Him and therefore trust and rely upon His word. To not lean on your own understanding. To not lean on the way you would want it to be or you think is best. To acknowledge Him in believing prayer and therefore have your paths directed. That you might look to God and trust in Him and trust that His word is what is best for you, that His word is what is best for your life. You're throwing aside dependence on self. You're throwing aside dependence on your own wisdom. You're casting that away from you. You're acknowledging God. And therefore, He is directing your paths. He is therefore directing your paths. Let me just use one that is very common, but you'll get the principle if I use this to apply to other issues. As it applies to marriage. As it applies to marriage, whether helping your children get married or if you're single, wanting to be married. It's just an easy example to use as it relates to knowing the will of God. Well, first, you trust in Jehovah, trusting that He knows what is best for you. He's the God of creation. He's the God of redemption. If God gave His Son for you to die and be risen from the dead, He knows what is best for your life. And therefore, you trust Him with all your heart, trusting that He knows and wants what is best for you. That's where trust begins as it relates to that. You trust that He wants what's best for you. And you rely that His ways are what is best for you as well. You trust that doing it according to His word is what is best and what is most profitable and what is the most successful way of going about it. You don't lean on your own understanding. So meaning, you don't lean on what the world says or what you naturally would think is best. You throw those things aside. The world says the most important thing is to look for sometimes, or a lot of times for men, for women, is outward beauty. You throw leaning to your own understanding aside. You don't make outward beauty the main thing because charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So you don't lean on your own thinking, your own desires, your own way of thinking about these things. You lean upon God and His word. You then acknowledge Him. You acknowledge Him as the God who is sovereign over all things, the God who leads and directs and governs all of history. And so you trust Him. You don't lean on your own understanding. You acknowledge God in believing prayer, praying, asking that God would give you a heart that desires what He wants for you. And therefore, He shall direct your paths. And so we see that's what it would look like in a situation like that. And it can be applied to many, many things where you trust in God, knowing that He knows what is best. You don't lean on your own thinking or understanding that is native to you without the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And you acknowledge Him in all things. And He shall direct your paths. What a glorious truth that is. That the God of heaven promises and desires to direct our paths that we might go in the way that is right and proper and good. But if you're here and you're without Jesus Christ, you can't even obey this text at all because you're not even trusting in Jehovah unto conversion. You're not even trusting Him in a way where you are relying upon Him for your everlasting soul and salvation. And therefore, it begins by trusting in God for your salvation. Because before God, you stand as a guilty criminal before Him. And therefore, you need Jesus Christ to rescue you from your sin so that you can be delivered from your sin so that you can be enabled to lean not on your own understanding. Right now, if you're without Christ, your whole life is leaning on your own understanding. And that's why you need salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who can deliver you from trusting self, deliver you from leaning on your own understanding, so that you might find life and salvation in Him. So that you might find life and salvation in Him. And so this is this is key for all of us, to be trusting not in ourselves, but in the living God. And so let me ask some questions now to the saints as we think about applying this text. You have to ask yourself, when you are making decisions, who is your trust in? When you are walking through your daily life, who is your trust in? Is it in Jehovah or is it in self? When you're making these decisions, who are you looking to and leaning on and trusting and relying in? Do you actively acknowledge God throughout your day? Do you actively acknowledge Him as the God of creation and providence and redemption and the God who is in control of all things? Do you actively acknowledge His plan for your life as being good and proper? Do you have a growing knowledge of God, a growing ascent towards the truthfulness of God, and a growing trust in God Himself? These things are all connected with this verse, that our heart and our desires and our affections are more and more leaning upon God and not in self. You begin to stop saying things like, well, I think this would be best. You begin to say things like, this is what Scripture says. That's an evidence of trusting in Jehovah, not in self. You begin to say less and less, you know what, I just kind of think or feel that this is a good way of going about it. And you begin to say, you know what, but this is what God says. You begin to say, this is what God says about the issue, and I want to follow Him. You begin to say less and less about, you know what, according to what the world says. You begin to say more and more, this is what the Scriptures say. You say less and less, you know what, this is what people say around me, to this is what God has to say on it. That's a reliance, dependence, trust in God and in His Word. And so you have to ask yourself the question, is that true of your life more and more? That you're not leaning on your own understanding. You're not leaning on your own ways, but you're instead acknowledging God in all things, desirous that He would direct your paths. And so this is what we need. This is what we need for God to help us and strengthen us to trust Him, to not lean on our own understanding, to acknowledge Him, knowing that He shall direct our paths. And so one key application of this is it would be good for you to pick up a book or listen to a sermon or two. Or like I said, I plan to start a series, Lord willing. I haven't completely made my mind, but I'm strongly considering it on the perfections of God. But listen or read or hear something on who God is so that you can have greater trust in Him. You can only trust in someone that you know more and more, and therefore it would be good for you to grow in your knowledge of God through verses about who He is or books on His attributes and character. And it would be good for all of us as well to think about what we're going to do throughout the day and pray for it in the morning, acknowledging God in the morning. I'm praying, these are the things I'm going to do today. Help me, Father, please fulfill them faithfully. And then while we're doing them throughout the day, confessing and acknowledging God, that God would give us strength and help throughout the day while we're doing things as we go through each and every activity. Praying for God's blessing in the morning and seeking to pray to Him, acknowledging Him throughout the day. That our hearts and our minds and our wills will be focused upon Him. And so may God give us all grace to trust in Him with all of our hearts, to lean not on our own understanding, in all our ways to acknowledge Him, and He will direct, He shall direct our paths. Amen.